Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
On the road, we're going home to the place where wild nerds roam with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a mega beast in a star-filled sky where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey, Dad, what are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless to taking over the world. Yes!
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of The Long Box Guys. With me as always are some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid, and some new friends. Let's start off with my good friend, Mikey. Mikey, how you doing and what are you drinking?
Thank you very much, Tom Strange, for asking. I am drinking a Heineken, the official beer of the Quantum of Bond.
Whatever the name of that damn movie was. Tommy, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing okay. I am drinking some Compass Box Great King Street Scotch, and it is delicious. What are you drinking, Tommy?
I have myself a delicious Cuba Libre today, which is Diet Coke and rum. Wait a second, is that right? I got a rum and Coke. I got a rum and Coke is what I got. Cheers. All right, Josh, what are you drinking over there, bud?
I am in the down-home Asheville, North Carolina location of Ian and Tammy, and I am drinking whatever dark beer comes out of the kegerator in Ian's basement, and it is fantastic.
Ian, you hoity-toity fuck, you got a kegerator?
I do.
Stained glass window making pays more than I thought.
Retail.
What's in the kegerator, Ian?
We have a couple of beers from a local brewery, Highwire. The one that Josh and I are drinking is their S'mores Porter.
S'mores Porter, Josh, 3-18. What do you give it?
I'm going for 13.
13, that's pretty good. That's not bad at all. Tammy, our good friend Tammy, who I put many dollars in the jars into for many, many times on this podcast. Every time I mention your feet, I owe a dollar to the jar.
I really
I mean, how are you doing and what are you drinking?
I am polishing a bottle of Pinot Noir.
Oh, hoity and toity. So the Linos are here this week because they're going to be judging our pitch meeting. And this week we're pitching indie comics that we think should be made into movies. So what you're going to hear from everybody is an elevator style pitch. Nothing too long about an indie comic that we think would make a great movie. Maybe some of the people we think should star in it. And a few things like that. Who wants to go first?
I'll go. No, Mikey's got it.
No, go ahead.
No, privilege is an honor. If you want to take the honors, Mike, I'm happy to step aside and win it later down the line. Whatever it takes.
First, real quick question. Mike, are you wearing the same shirt that you took your like fifth grade school picture in? What were you wearing?
I'm wearing a football Barcelona club shirt. So sure you know, because I didn't even know soccer existed when I was in fifth grade.
Oh, soccer existed when you were in fifth grade, shut
right, but I didn't know it, because I'm American in the 70s. But anyway, so here's my pitch. It starts off on a bridge, and walking across the bridge are a whole bunch of black people holding hands. One of the guys looks at the other guy and says, "Do you know how to swim?" The guy says, "No." He goes, "Well, we might have to learn." And then on the other side, you see the Alabama State Police getting ready. And then as the marchers get closer, the police start yelling, "You're ordered to disperse. You have to disperse." And they just keep on coming. And then the police come in with billy clubs and start beating the shit out of everyone. You then cut to morning in the U.S. Capitol. People are running around. The staff is scurrying. There's an older white gentleman with his, it looks like his son and family and their grandchildren, and they're waiting to get into, and they cut to the door where they were waiting outside of. It's Congressman John Lewis's office. And this is the John Lewis story. It's based on the comic book called March, and it reflects John Lewis's struggles with civil rights and getting the Civil Rights Act passed. And it's going to be interspersed. It's going to jump in time throughout between his early days in the civil rights movement all the way up to the civil rights bill being passed in Congress and cutting away to scenes in modern day where they're showing, hey, the president just tweeted about you, and he says, oh, nothing the president says in a tweet is going to be worse than what I've already been called. And they're going to show the Lafayette Square where protesters are there today, and then, you know, they're getting cleared out by the police, even though they're not, you know, they're peaceful protesters for a photo op. We're going to reflect all of that, and then the last scene of the movie is going to be that guy who's in the family has been waiting, goes in to meet Congressman Lewis. And one of the scenes earlier on was Congressman Lewis, when he was in the Civil Rights Division or movement, sitting at the Montgomery lunch counters, and a group of white guys come in and they proceed to start beating the shit out of the black men at the counter. They don't resist because they've been trained not to resist. He gets put into the hospital because of it. The last scene is the guy, the older gentleman, introducing him to Congressman Lewis, said that, look, I brought my family here because I met you once before. And he's going to hold up a photo of the scene from the beating at the lunch counter and tell him, that's you in this photo, right? And Congressman Lewis is going to say, yes, that's me. He goes, yeah, I'm the guy kicking you. And I just wanted to say, in front of my family, I'm so sorry. And that'll be the final scene. Tom?
You made Tom cry so hard.
I did. I shut off my camera.
Tom, you're next.
I'm not next. I need a minute, you fuckers. John Lewis told us that story, by the way. We saw John Lewis at Dragon Con, and he came in and he told that story. And I needed a fucking Gatorade afterwards. I cried so hard. I was literally beside myself. Like, that's so moving. And he's like, why are you guys crying? This is a good story. And I'm like, fuck you,
because
John Lewis.
It's so beautiful, yeah. I mean, it's beautiful. It's topical, of course, with what's going on right now. But it also reminds us that we need to give people room and grace to change. So people right now that we see who are not like-minded, we need to understand and give them room to change their mind and become better and to open their minds up to the right way of thinking. So, I mean, my only question is, have you prepared your Academy Awards speech?
Yes, well, I don't know if you guys know who Malcolm Butler is, but he is a phenomenal actor. He has been in such amazing works as Better Off Ted and Timeless.
Oh, we love that show.
So
he was
Lem.
Oh, yeah, Lem. Lem is one of our
That is who I want to be the star, because that dude needs a breakout role so everybody can see how
we did and some other things.
He's in The Boys.
Yes.
He's in The Boys. He's the guy whose dick falls off after sleeping with the Frost superhero.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic actor. Yeah. I love him as the lead, definitely. Any other actors you want to cast in this?
No, that's all I got right now. I want Tom to go next because he's crying.
Oh, Tom's not going next. Tom still needs a goddamn minute.
Did I steal somebody's pitch, by the way? I was afraid to go first.
No. Yes, Mike.
So good, LT and I will accept the Academy Award together as the producers then.
So I'll go next because it's pretty much the same as Mike's. Only opening scene. Opening scene. It's an amusement park. Only everything's not quite what you're used to in an amusement park. It's got one of them rides that goes way back and forth, swinging way back and forth, but it's a giant arc. Everything has a slight religious theme to it. All the rides are there, but they have a slight religious theme to it. And people are having fun.
Oh, my God, I want to see your movie already. I know what you're talking about.
And then the camera pans down, and underneath the rides, you see all of these teenagers training, fighting each other in martial arts. And this couple comes out and says, Obadiah, you've been chosen for this holy mission. And he has to fight all his compatriots to be chosen for this holy mission. He has to go fight the one who should not be named. And he's sent out into the world that he's never been into to go seek out the defiler, the one who should not be named. He's sent to New York City for the first time. He's given a magical plane that will guide him to the defiler. And so he is sent off with his pure heart to end this, to his sacred duty to end the defiler. And he goes to this bar, which this sacred plane has sent him to. All the way, he's been making notes about his journey in this journal that his foster sister has given him, because it's the only thing that she could give him was a journal. And he gets to a bar, and in the bar, it's one of those places where there's panties and bras hanging from the ceiling, and this woman is having an argument with her, I don't know, boyfriend, friend of the night, whatever, where he's like, give me your bra, I'm going to staple it up. And she's like, no, I paid $60 for this at Victoria's Secret. There's no way you're putting it on the wall. And he's like, I'll buy you another one. And she's like, no, fuck off. And he's like, and a fight breaks out. And he goes to help her. And she's like, leave me the fuck alone. And he's in the middle of it. And then the bartender's like, hey, you're the bouncer. Get the fuck in there and stop this shit. And suddenly, this huge guy who's drunk off his ass is in the middle of this, trying to break it up. This kid from the middle of America, never been outside of this holy amusement park, is in this barroom brawl. They're back-to-back, fighting off these people. They win. They're in the middle of it. They're like, whew, thank you, stranger. Thank you. And then all of a sudden, he looks at his magic plane, and he realizes he has just befriended the defiler. He who should not be named has just told him his name. And his name is Armstrong. And the kid is Archer. And it's a story of Archer and Armstrong. And they both end up getting knocked out. They're taken to this place below Wall Street by this secret sect of cultists called the One Percenters, who are trying to put together this massive super weapon, the Boon. And it's a buddy story of two friends that have just met called Archer and Armstrong. And they have to put together, they have to get these pieces of this super weapon so that the sect can't get it. And that is my story. And somewhere along the way, you're going to see the two of these people riding off in the sunset to Peter Gabriel's Salisbury Hill. And it's going to be a buddy cop story. Without being cops, it's going to be an action story because there's going to be tons of action. It's going to have cultists. It's going to have spy thriller. It's going to have drunken stupidity. It's going to have it all.
It's like this podcast.
Exactly.
So who's starring in this?
I haven't even had time to cast it.
We have some ideas.
We have a notion.
Okay.
Well, come on, just like... instinctively who start. You don't have any instinctive, just like knee-jerk response.
Come on. It's obviously who has to be Armstrong. The greatest actor of his generation, probably any generation, Bruce Campbell.
Oh.
Bruce Campbell would be great as Armstrong.
Yeah. Yeah, we accept it.
Yeah. This is a Sam Raimi film now.
Oh. Yeah.
Sure, okay. Why not?
That changes everything.
Okay. Because our initial response was that this was Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
No, they could
go
not,
that way.
They could not stick to the script. But you know what?
So we have this comic. Yeah. So as, all we're getting is LT's pitch. Here.
As third party pitch receivers, this was our casting. But
so I would say they would be perfect as the one percenters, the bad guys in this movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would buy that for a dollar.
I buy that for a dollar. That's not bad.
So who holds up against Bruce Campbell as a partner?
That's tough. No one really does. But
nobody really does. I would like to see it. For Archer, honestly, I could see Tom Holland.
I love Tom Holland.
I could see Tom Holland as an Archer. You need someone who's young.
Who can dance.
Who's ultimately looks confused 90% of the time. And then 10% of the time, looks like they know what the fuck they're doing it in a serious way.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah. I think Holland kind of meets that.
Or Don Glover.
Don Glover might be a little too old.
We've not read the comic.
Again, we don't know who the characters could be.
Yeah.
So he's like an older teenager.
Starry-eyed teenager.
Yeah, he's totally Tom Holland.
Who just walked into the world for the first time.
That's totally Tom Holland.
Yeah.
That's a good topic.
He initially believes everything that his parents are telling him about the world and about his religion, and it all is shattered.
I can see that with Tom Holland, but I really like Don Glover. Yeah. So tell the amusement park, are they're like down there like fighting and stuff? Are they running the amusement
ride? It's the training camp.
It's an amusement park, but it's also like secret underground is the training camp.
The implication is that it's like this big religious
that's how they're funding
front,
it.
And everyone underneath the kids they bring in there are being tested to see if they're the one, and then being trained to go into the world.
Orlando used to have an amusement park. It was called Bible Land. What was it?
It was Bible Land.
Bible Land recently went out of business. Not due to COVID. It was last year it went out of business. We never frequented.
I saw them in Bill Maher's Religious.
Can I
add one thing? Donald Glover is going to be Martin Luther King Jr. in my March movie.
Suck up.
Yes. 10 points to Gryffindor.
Did you say Gryffindor?
Tom, LT, I really thought you were going to start
did
off.
Did I mention that, you know, at some point Bruce Campbell might have to get at least partially naked in my film?
Oh, yeah.
After putting on 60 pounds to be Armstrong?
Do you think he has to put on 60 pounds?
80.
So you're trying to bribe me with acting. Nudity, you're saying.
I'm an actor.
Ian, do you want to see Bruce Campbell partially naked?
Everyone wants to see
Bruce Campbell. Is that all it takes, guys? Because I'm ready.
Yeah, and he's been subletting that apartment by Mike for weeks, waiting for his opportunity. So I don't know how that went.
So Michael, let us know when he's ready.
He's going there.
Dark, scary woods. Guys walking through the woods. Looks really creepy. Out of the woods comes a naked girl. She's shuffling. It looks like a zombie. But it's just really just a beautiful girl. She wants to have sex. Lots and lots of sex. Hot, sticky sex. As a matter of fact, out of the woods starts coming a menagerie of beautiful, beautiful girls. And all they want to do is have sex with the local townspeople. This is my zombie apocalypse pitch for the indie comic Girls. So, this small town is overrun by this alien horde, And what they do is they go planet to planet and they reproduce themselves as the female version of whatever the male species is of the planet that's the dominant species. They make themselves as attractive as possible, and they keep breeding and breeding until they take over the planet. And that's how they take over the planet. Now, this I picture as kind of a fun, crazy slash horror comedy where we just get everybody in here. And I mean everybody. I loved Mad World. Did you guys like that movie?
Yeah.
And the reason I like that movie is because it was such a crazy ensemble cast. Now, Girls is perfect for this kind of movie because I think as the first girl, the one who's kind of the leader, as Natalie Morales. You guys might remember her from Middleman. She's terrific. She's great in everything she's ever been in, and she's really, really funny. Also, one of the girls, I'd also like all the girls from Brooklyn Nine-Nine to be in it. Mostly because I want to see both of them naked. Very much so. Very, very much so. And we get everybody in on this. And I'm talking the guys can just be everybody that you've ever seen in life from Saturday Night Live straight on through to all the CWs. Huge ensemble cast to show what happens to the male mind if we know it's a zombie invasion. We figure it out. But do we really want to stop it? I mean, that really is the central core of this comic book. We understand that they're going to take over the planet. All the men are just going to be breeding with the women until everyone's extinct.
What do the women on the planet do?
Oh, they get brutally murdered by the super hot female zombies.
Oh, yeah, and eaten.
None of us fight back.
The women fight back, but the women fight back, but the guys are torn.
It's
hilarious and good social comedy.
So there has to be an army of Earth women that are fighting back. Another plot. Who is leading this army?
Oh, you want to know who leads who actually, I mean, there's the hero's journey. The girls don't actually win.
They're not going to win.
I can picture a nice Gal Gadot in there.
Does she get seduced by one of the aliens? How does this end?
They do try that a few times in the comic book. Mostly for the male readership, I think. And it does work a couple times, only to get that woman who fell for the seduction, her face bitten off. Or worse, bitten off, if you know what I mean. That's a particularly gory scene, which I would cut out of my version of the movie, because I don't want to see that. But it does give new meaning to the term eaten out. Like, all the way out.
Where does Don Glover come into play in this movie?
Oh, he's the first guy that gets seduced. I don't know if I mentioned that. Actually, I wanted young Gambino to be the first guy.
Okay.
Childish Gambino. Don Glover.
Yeah. That's for me. I love that guy. I think he's great in everything he's in. Childish Gambino to be the first guy to get seduced. He's also the first guy to figure out what's going on. And try to warn people, and people are like, okay, but there's a big yes and that's going on with this. And the women are, these alien women, they're not just sex droids. They're taking care of the men afterwards because they need the men to keep being able to, so they take over the role of the women that they've killed. They're terrific wives and mothers. And they're also incredibly gorgeous and will do whatever they say, Stepford Wives style.
Do they keep all the men alive or do they kind of call them out?
There's a culling at the end. But we don't see that coming.
That'll be a twist ending.
And I gotta be honest, I didn't read the entire comic book, just the parts I jerked off to.
He forgot about the sperm. He forgot some of the important parts, but I love your pitch, Tom, and I want to help you with this because it's a cheap movie to make because it's all set in a small town that's trapped away from everywhere. So there's only 60-something people in the town itself. And in the middle of a cornfield is a giant sperm monster that is launching these girls out to infect the town and reproduce. And after you have sex with them, they start laying eggs all over the place, which creates more girls. hot women who are trying to have sex with all the men in the town, not realizing it's a plague. And I love that idea. And here's how I'd want to even make it better. Some of the stars is the entire cast of Community, so that way they do get 6 seasons in a movie.
Oh, nice. I like it. And Chevy Chase. Even though I like young Chevy Chase better than old Chevy Chase, but, you know, I'm accepting of all Chevy Chases.
Has Netflix rolled out an After Dark category yet? Because I feel like this is more of a series than a movie.
Oh.
It could be. And to make this movie even cheaper, in the comic book, the alien girls were non-communicative. So you don't even need to give them an IMDb exactly. credit.
Yeah.
No, you make it cheaper. You make them all the same woman, Gillian Anderson. It's all her over and over again. That way you only have to pay one woman.
Sorry, Gillian Anderson's not hot enough.
Gillian Anderson not hot enough?
No.
Have you not seen
first season of Sex Education?
And Sex Education?
Not hot enough.
Oh, no, we're going to watch that. Gillian Anderson.
Would Alison Brie be okay?
Who?
Alison Brie.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, we're throwing Alison Brie.
Not hot like Gillian Anderson.
Not hot enough.
Mm-hmm.
I want multiple women just because I want all tastes catered to.
Tom wants us to de-age Shirley Jones.
I don't want you to fuck you, Mike. You don't have to de-age Shirley Jones. She's fine the way she is.
Betty White, you know.
Betty White, get out there, Betty.
Well, Betty White
These girls are everyone's type. There's got to be a guilt guy out there somewhere in that town. It's 60 guys. At least one of those guys does. At least 6 of those guys probably want a guy, and at least 2 of those guys probably want a gilf. Or a good gilf. Yeah. That's a great grandma.
And to cater to everyone's tastes.
Damn right.
Absolutely.
And I don't
think Alexandra Daddario, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
She's way too young. And I still don't care.
She was in.
Yeah, don't say it, because that makes her sound super young. She was in Percy Jackson, but then she was in True Detective.
She was in
Detective. Let's go with True Detective.
Was she?
Yeah,
I didn't watch that, but she was in True Detective.
She was super hot, and Charlie dumped her because he thought she was fake. He thought she was just into him for his money.
Anyway,
we like it, Tom.
I think it's better as a movie though than a series because it really doesn't have legs for a full series.
I do want Danny DeVito to be the sperm monster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Here comes some more, guys. Blue.
Why are you helping him?
Because I want to see all these movies. That's why.
Yeah. I'm dying to see March.
You keep cranking the dial up, and it's coming
just
up.
Just like my neighbor.
You're locking eyes with Tom.
Locking eyes with Tom.
Was that everybody?
Josh.
Let's go, Josh. Come on, pitch right.
All right.
Now, Josh, you've been doing great. I'm waiting for the heat.
Settle down. You ready?
Settle down.
An action comedy. Although it is fronted by 2 female characters, the first scene is the 1 male character. Enter the Hudson River. There's a guy. He's trapped underwater. He has literally cement shoes on. And he's just got a rock. And he's chipping away. He's not drowning. He's not dying. He's not hungry. And he's not tired. But he is bored as fuck. Because he has been chipping away at this thing for days. So finally, just finally, he breaks the shoes. He drags himself out of the Hudson River onto the Brooklyn side. And we see 2 weeks earlier. Now picture 2 female action stars. 1, lithe, slim, martial arts-based, fucking fantastic, moves like a fucking ninja, looks like John Wick with long hair and hot sauce. And the other is just a bundle of muscle ready to kick ass. Gina Carano out there swinging for the fucking fences. And the title comes up, and it is Shirkin. Right. The three-person team. Shirkin is the ultimate ninja. Her friend is the world's strongest woman. And the other guy is a chicken shit motherfucker who is afraid of everything except he's completely indestructible. At one point, the bad guy is about to get away from the high-rise building they're on, and the world's strongest woman plucks his ass up and throws him off the building at the villain's limousine. Meanwhile, 66 floors down, he passes all the way down, looks straight at the camera and goes, I think I pissed my pants. Just before he passes through the limousine, passes through the villain and into the pavement, but takes no damage whatsoever because he is indestructible, motherfuckers. And Shirkin is the greatest action fucking female comedy of all fucking time. Tom loves this comic more than I do. He's not going to deny it.
I love this comic.
He might try to disparage me here for a moment, but he knows this is a movie we would pay to see with the blood of our lives.
The funniest part about this is this comic got reprinted like 6 times.
Oh, yeah.
And like with various different add-ons and takeaways. Like the indestructible guy finally came on at the end, and like the first one was in black and white, and the next one wasn't, and it was always awesome, though.
It was always love this comic. 11 people have read this comic, and Tom and I are 10 of them.
Yeah. And you could ask 3 different people. You could ask the 10 different people who've read this comic what the hell we're talking about. Half of them won't know these characters because they only show up in like a couple of versions because they kept restarting the fucking comic book.
It's fucking fantastic. It's just a great theme. It's just female-led action comedy. It's just everything everybody wants to see all right now. It's ridiculous graphics comedy. And then it's the guy who just cannot be hurt, who is basically used as a human weapon to snatch things, break things.
Steve Buscemi.
At one point, he decides he needs to catch up with them. They're in the subway. Everyone gets away. And his one moment, his only honest moment of glory, is trying to understand how he can overcome his own fear. So as the subway comes through the station, knowing it's an express and it's not going to stop, he jumps in front of it and gets pinned to the front to get to the next stage.
For free ride.
Knowing he's never going to get
there. So who is the cast?
Yeah, casting.
Steve Buscemi is the guy, as the indestructible guy.
Who?
Buscemi. I love Steve
Buscemi. I picture someone younger, but just as awkward.
I feel somebody younger than Buscemi.
I'm going with Barry, the guy who plays Barry.
Barry.
That's a good one. Barry, why is this guy not that yet? What's that guy's name?
Barry?
Henry Winkler.
He's Stefan. No, it's not Henry Winkler. Henry Winkler was also on Barry.
Henry Winkler's awesome, yeah, in that show.
But it's not going to be
Barry. Bill Hader. I'm going to say
Bill Hader.
Bill Hader.
Surprisingly good actor.
Surprisingly good. Right?
Okay, so he's going to be...
Completely awkward, neurotically afraid of everything.
Yeah.
But at no point at any time is he in any danger ever. He is completely and utterly indestructible.
Okay.
I say for the world's strongest woman, we have Gina Carano, who was Angel in Deadpool.
Okay.
And she was also, did you watch Mandalorian?
Yeah.
She was the shock trooper in Mandalorian.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Hard yes.
She's gorgeous. Yep. She's a great actress. Yep. Put blonde hair on. She's clearly the world's strongest woman.
She doesn't have to be blonde.
The role's blonde.
Apologies all around.
She's fucking fantastic, and I love her.
Okay.
Shirkin is always portrayed as a younger Asian woman, which let's not steal roles. Let's go and find an unknown Asian woman who's a fantastic martial artist.
Great.
So
we're
not going with Lucy Liu.
Lucy Liu.
She's too old.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I want to sleep with Lucy Liu every other day of my life.
I mean, Lucy Liu's like older than me, but she looks like 20 years younger than me.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
I would sleep with Lucy Liu.
For mainline actresses, I would think the young actress from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. But honestly, at this point, she's not young enough anymore.
Yeah.
She's actually probably aged away from that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen her in anything else. I don't even know if she still acts.
Yeah.
But I would pick some like young, like competitive martial artist.
Yeah.
Who's just looking for a role. And Shurkin was just one of those comics that clicked for me. It had just a little bit of everything in it. It reminded me of sort of like the origins of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, where there was black and white. It was all action. It was super hilarious.
Yeah.
And the bad guys were completely out of bounds. And the heroes were just this group of like tight-knit people who were trying to get shit done.
So Shurkin is the lead character's name.
Yes.
Her martial artist. Yeah. Okay, that's her code name. Okay.
Fantastic. It was a great comic. It was and I would just love to see it come to life.
I like it. There's no Don Glover in it, but I still like it. Maybe he could have a cameo appearance. Maybe he could be a villain.
He could definitely be a villain.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't there an evil Tonfa villain? Like a female version?
Absolutely, yeah. The book, like, actually having read the books, I mean, Tom and I read these 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? And then there was, like, 12 issues total.
Yeah. And once again, they all restarted a couple of times. There was like 5 number ones of different stuff.
Yeah. So that's the thing. They didn't have a handler. So
how did they get their jobs?
Right. So Shurkin is really like the focus, the lead focus, mm-hmm. right? And the World's Strongest Woman is sort of like brought on. And honestly, I don't remember any particular origin story for the guy who is completely indestructible.
He's just there.
He is like the foul of the group, right? He's just like the stumbling comedian. And honestly, I never remember an origin for him whatsoever.
No,
and honestly, he doesn't need one.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just interject things and you don't need to explain them. And like Mike and I always say, mostly Mike, a lot of the enemies of the stories we see today is exposition. Like,
yeah.
Instead of showing people what you need to show them, mm-hmm. just outwardly explaining it to audiences you assume are stupid.
Yeah.
And we don't need to do that. We just let these guys go and have their thing and have their fun adventures.
Yeah.
And if you want to explain it somewhere down the road, you do. But
Or they could just read the comics.
They could just read the comics. But I just loved seeing him, like, one of the heroes of the story, basically being captured by 3 unpowered guys, thrown in the trunk of a car. They couldn't knock him unconscious because he's indestructible. And then they just covered his legs in concrete and threw him in the Hudson River. And you were like, what's going to happen? And then it was like 3 weeks later, and then he finally breaks through the thing, and he's like, I can walk to shore now.
I'm so pissed.
Yeah, I'm so pissed about this. It's beautiful. Beautiful comic.
I'm beating on so many of these Shurkins right now online.
All right, so now Tammy and Ian, you guys have the unenviable task of choosing which of these 4 movies, all of which should definitely have been made, which one are you going to greenlight? It's not an easy decision. Mm-hmm. The winner gets bragging rights for, I don't know, a day.
Split our budget among all 4 of you and just all make a mediocre, shitty movie?
No, I'm fine with this.
My movie is going to cost like $1.99.
Because you have to put the marketing budget, you have to, like, really...
Mm.
Yeah. Just pick one.
I like them all. I think you've all done a fantastic job.
In our defense, we've just stolen comic books and pitched them as our ideas.
Yeah. You mean like Hollywood?
Yeah. I say this is how all movie treatments come forward. Yeah. It's like...
But you pitched it well. Yeah.
Well pitched.
Do you have
a big one, guys?
So I would say Mike's is the one that I'm funding at this point. Like, these are all great movies. I think they all have merit to them. I think Mike's is the one that is timely. I think it's the one that has Oscar buzz. I think that's the one that the world needs at this time.
So if I were a Hollywood producer, I would agree with Ian. The one that is going to bring in the most money for me right now.
Or the most renown. Like, even if it's not...
Like I said, if I was a Hollywood producer, the one that's going to bring in the most money.
Well, but sometimes, like, what you're looking for is to build...
So you'll get the next big project.
Well, it's the estimation of your company. Like, we are producing movies that are important at this time. And I think that's an important movie to make.
So while I would love to watch all of your movies, and I hope...
I knew mine was too political.
That's right. I avoided politics by going with...
Just thing going on in yours, LT. That it was just a religious thing.
It's going after the 1%. That's what it was.
It's a political thing, and you know you're going to have Trump do a cameo in that, and then I'm just going to have to vomit. So I'm sorry. So we're going with Mike. I mean, I know that we have to sleep in the same house tonight, Josh, and I hope there are no negative repercussions to that. Winning streak.
Oh, winning streak broken. Wow. The only repercussion really is me just taking a picture of your feet and sending it to Tom.
That's okay.
That's really bad. That's okay. That's about that. I just want everyone to win at the end of the day.
Except for us, who lose.
Tom, do you want me to trim my toenails first, or do you like them a little too long?
You
made it too real. You made it too real.
He likes it a little dangerous.
Wow, this is good because
I
was originally going to pitch a pirate
corps. And socks, actually.
I was originally going to pitch a pirate corps movie where a bunch of slackers end up in a Walmart superstore in the future, but it's so large they just decide to live there. And that was the entire movie.
That would be a good one, yeah.
But I think that.
So if you had pitched that, what would we have chosen? Who is first runner up? Or is it second runner up? I don't even understand how beauty contests are judged.
I think.
I'm pretty sure we're glitched out.
I really think Tom's has legs as a Netflix series.
I agree.
In the vein of like Daybreak and some other like post apocalyptic things that are just over the top. I think that's something that people would tune in and watch 8 episodes of. I think you'd absolutely recoup your money on that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I'm not saying it's art. I'm saying it's commerce. And there are enough people that would watch that, you would recoup your money.
I would watch all of these things.
So did you anybody
else? Yours is like Dale and Tucker, that movie Dale and Tucker.
Oh, I love that.
It has like that kind of essence to it, I think.
We saw one of the best cosplay costumes ever. It was a Dale and Tucker versus Evil. And it was we were at a burlesque, a nerd burlesque show when this happened. And every other person was a super, super hot girl in a super slinky costume. And then there was these two jackasses as Dale and Tucker. And God damn it, those boys won, and it made me so fucking happy.
We lost our minds. We were like, yes, them, yeah.
And it was great because, like, the girls looked great, and they did put work into their costume. But these guys were acting like Dale and Tucker, like, the whole fucking time. And they were having a great time, and they were playing with the audience, and they deserve to win.
Did they accidentally kill? Did they accidentally kill any of the hot girls?
I do believe there was some damage.
We saw a great Tucker and Dale at Dragon Con, and they were dragging like the bottom half of a body with them.
This guy just had the same thing, yeah.
Through the vendor hall.
Yeah, through the vendor hall, through the Marriott, everywhere. It was just like the legs up to the pelvis, and they're just dragging through.
It might have been the same guys.
As
long as I got all you guys here and we're talking about cosplay, Diane, one of our great listeners, really has it in her head that she wants us all to do a Village People comic book mashup of another group, like the Avengers or something, but also as the Village People. So if you guys start thinking about that, who would be good? And
I think
2021. Yeah.
That's a good mashup.
I had a fun mashup.
Indian from the YMCA with Thor.
Oh.
The headdress with the.
Oh, yeah.
We can't do the Indian.
Yeah. Unless you did X-Men and did Thunderbird.
Yeah.
You can do the mechanic. I don't know all the YMCA characters.
I don't know. Yeah. I think the Star Trek might be the best one to do.
Star
Trek?
YMCA mashup?
I kind of like that. You got a trend lately, though, on the Indian.
More Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters.
But we don't need proton packs.
Sailor Moon.
I think in both cases, it's something with...
I want to see you all in Sailor Moon costumes.
I
want to see us all in Sailor Moon costumes, too. I absolutely call them Mercury.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or how about a steampunk YMCA?
You could do steampunk costumes are pretty complicated.
Yeah, I like Star Trek. I think.
Yeah.
Mike wins again. 2 for Mike. 0 for everyone else. Wah-wah.
No, Tom suggested it when we were at Pensacon, I think.
Yeah, we were talking about this for a while. But I think it'll be fun.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
All right, let's move on to a couple of our other segments before we run too long. First up is the front of the long box. Mikey, what do you got at the front of the long box?
At the front of the long box, I have Giant Days. It is by Boom Comics. It is an independent comic book about three young freshman British girls at their university and the misadventures they get on. I would say it's kind of like Scott Pilgrim without the kung fu adventure and music. So if you want to see just an interesting character piece, it's a good comic to read. If you're not into pretty much stagnant, just character-driven story and want action, this is not the comic for you. Giant Days.
Awesome. Giant Days. Okay. Tommy, what do you got at the back of the long box?
I have Blue Note, Volume 1, The Final Days of Prohibition. It takes place in New York in November 1933, and it's a story of this boxer who was once big time and got out and was just kind of bumming around the back roads, bare-knuckle boxing, and his old promoter found him and brought him back to the big city, even though he wasn't real too jazzed about it. And only thing that brought him back was his love of jazz. And he started getting into big-time fights, even though he wasn't really into the scene, but he just wanted to kind of do one last boxing match against the guy that he last fought. And he gets sucked into this whole mob thing, and it's a really well-drawn, well-written slice of life right at the end of Prohibition era story.
Neat. All right, I agree. That was it called one more time?
Blue Note.
Blue Note. Okay. Sounds good.
But about Europe Comics.
All right. Josh, my friend, do you have a good tangent for us to talk about today?
So I hadn't really put a lot of thought into the tangent today, and I'd rather pass off to our special guests because, you know, it's not very often we get down here, and I have to say they've been fantastic. It's just amazing to be here, and just a place to go when you need a place to go is such a thing you just don't get very often. So here's my tangent. So where do you go when you need to go?
Ooh, that's a good question. Where do I go when I need to go? I do have an answer for that for myself. When I need to clear my head and do something, I get on my scooter and I usually throw my equipment on it, and I'll go for like a 2 or 3 day scoot. I really enjoy it, and I'll say this for my wife too. She does the same exact thing on her bicycle. She'll throw her camping gear on that bike. I met her. We actually took this trip just 2 weeks ago. She drove 50 or so miles on her bicycle down to the Cape. I took my scooter on about 140, 150 mile sequacious loop around and met her for camping, and we had a terrific time. And then we stayed in a hotel the next night, and that's what we do. We camp and we just ride around on our me on my scooter and her on her bicycle. That's her favorite thing to do to clear that head. How about you there, Mikey?
So for me, I try to, if there's a comic book con going on, I'll go to that. But if not, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find a comic book store that I've never been to, and I'm going to do a deep dive into their cheap bins. And just, I can spend hours just digging through quarter or 50 cent long boxes, just pulling out old stuff. And then the beauty of it, and Tammy can attest to that, I did that when I went up to visit them. I met them at a con. I did a deep dive, and I found comics that I already owned, but I loved so much that I was able to gift them with the comics to promote what I love rather than dissing what I hate.
That's right. Promote those good comics.
Why, where did that come into my mind? I don't know where I got that from.
Tommy, how about you? You got to clear your head. What are you doing, buddy?
I mean, historically, I've gone to Mike's house in New Orleans, but pretty soon, hopefully, you won't have that. So I'm going to have to find a new place, and hopefully it'll be in New Britain, Connecticut.
Tim, you got to clear your head. What do you do, my friend?
So we live really close to the Blue Ridge Parkway, and we have a 2-seat convertible, and it's just fantastic to just get up there and just put the top down and just drive.
What kind of convertible do you have?
It's a Honda S2000.
Okay. All right. Nice. Respectable.
Yeah, it's a sweet little stick shift.
Oh, you know what you guys should do when you come up here? You should drive the Kangamangas Highway. That's up in Maine, and it is gorgeous. It's not to be taken quickly. It's part of the alphabet soup thing during the Dust Bowl era, where they were just trying to make work to make work. This highway should not exist. It is a thumb in the eye of God. It goes across Maine through the mountains, and it is nothing but zigzags. It looks like an Ebola germ, but it is gorgeous and some of the best scenery you'll ever see in your life. So, Kangamangas Highway.
Very cool.
Okay.
All right, try that.
Commission something really small for us to fit it in the back of the trunk of the S2000.
Yeah.
Ian, the question of the group was, what do you do when you got to go clear your head or you got to take a little getaway? What do you do, buddy?
So I'm late to the game, but I've been playing Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Oh, nice.
And it's there's a lot of scenery and you just roam through it. And in a time where I feel kind of confined to the interior of a space, it's really nice to just get into an open space and not have very clear goals, but just kind of roam around and see what looks interesting. So that's been a very freeing sort of experience. It's a nice time. You know, you fight things and whatever else, but just that sense of being in an open space where there are no expectations has been very advantageous.
See, that's why I like fishing in WoW. You know, it's,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Sure, there's something on the line, but it's not that big a deal. I'm just fishing. Yeah. I'm just fishing. All right, well, that brings us to my segment real quick. 3 to 18. I'm afraid only about half of us can answer this one. On a scale of 3 to 18, how bad was getting the COVID test? I took one today, and it was the first time I had to do it, and it was not horrible, but it certainly isn't a joy. I only ranked it at about a 10, a 9 or a 10 when it comes to discomfort. Mikey, what did you rank yours as?
I'm going to give it an 11. It's not as uncomfortable as making eye contact with my neighbor masturbating, but it's not something that I want to go through every day.
Okay. Tammy, you took one. What did you think? 3 to 18.
So hearing your responses, I'm thinking maybe it wasn't a good idea that I got mine at the Dollar General. Because I just kind of stuck a Q-tip in my nostril. And, I mean, it wasn't any worse than having, like, a bug up your nose or some. It wasn't deep, you know. It was not penetrative. It was a 3. So I think I might need to get retested. Maybe not at the Dollar General.
You didn't feel the back of your head getting scratched?
No, I mean, they did not get up in there. My finger has been further up my nostril than that Q-tip.
I don't think they get it right.
I think that catches you in it, too. Did they also give you a free foot massage? Because I think that was all.
I was in my car. This is a drive-through test, and you roll down your window, and they stick a swab in your nose, not very far up it, and then they tell you you don't have the COVID.
They tell you right then and there?
No, it took 7 days.
I was going to say, if they're telling you right then and there, there's just a really weird pervert into nasal shit at the Dollar General. Just like, you want a COVID test? Yeah, let me get this. Oh, yeah, I need to see your photo ID so I can keep this with it. Yeah.
Don't worry about the discomfort. Your finger's been up there further than I'll be today.
Let me say this. If you're on Pornhub, and let's say you are interested in nose porn for a second, all right, Pornhub never fucking forgets. It is the worst emo ever. Because someone mentioned wedgie porn to me one time. I'm like, that's not a thing. So I looked it up. Oh, it's definitely a thing. And now Tebow thinks I love that thing. And I could not care less about that particular thing.
I have
thing.
Questions, but I'm afraid to ask them in case my phone is listening, and it never forgets either.
You don't have a Tor browser? Come on.
Yeah.
Pornhub at Pepperidge Farm. They never forget.
By the way, do you guys have an Alexa in your house?
No.
Too bad. I was going to order you some lube.
No.
Alexa, order lube.
I hate onions, but I'll still use the browser.
So we bought one for my parents, but we don't have one.
Ian, you had this test too. Did they get way up in there, buddy?
We got a 2-for-1 sale. So it was like 2 for $1, like similar. Like they just kind of ran a swab right on the inside of my nose. I would rate it I was going to rate it a 4, but they gave me one of the mystery flavored dum-dums afterwards, so it goes down to a 3.
Right.
It was a bank drive-through, so those little like shoom thing came down. It gave me a dum-dum lollipop. I was like 7 years old again. So yeah, I give it a 3.
What did the dum-dum taste like?
It was like a cross between root beer and lemon.
So you don't have COVID, do you?
Well, we did not have COVID 2 weeks ago, but Josh has been here a while.
Yeah, so.
He's riddled with
don't take
something.
Don't take the lollipop from Josh. It definitely does have Rohypnol in it.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
We know.
All right. And now we're going on to plugs, and we forget to plug one of our favorite people to plug. No pun intended. Let's plug geekorthodox.com.
Who are they?
Geekorthodox.com.
Hello, Tammy.
And that's our intro to our Geekorthodox. Now, you guys own geekorthodox.com. We talk about it almost every week. And we always mention you do great stained glass, you do great t-shirts, you do drinkware, you do ties. What do you guys think you're most known for? Because we love you for your t-shirts, but you do so much more.
So the t-shirts is definitely where we started out at conventions many, many ages ago. Recently, the stained glass stuff has really been picking up. That's a thing that a lot of people know us for. And so it's a very weird combination, we know, doing nerdy t-shirts and also geek-inspired stained glass. But both of those things seem to be fairly even at our recent shows. So it's been fun to branch out into a new art form.
We hear very often, I've got enough t-shirts, but we've never heard anybody say, I've got enough stained glass.
That's very true.
Now, is it true that you're the preferred stained glass provider of John Berriman?
That is true, yes.
That we know. You don't know with John.
You can have like 3 on the side. All right. Who else has something to plug?
I'd like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music. Cough, cough, cough. I'd like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can check out their music at kirbycracklemusic.com. By the way, if you're not aware, Tom loves feedback. So, Ian, Tim, you got any feedback for Tom on how he's doing? Thanks. We appreciate that feedback.
Good feedback. It took me a second to figure out. I thought it was like cats screeching.
Come on. Not everybody has a good feedback impersonation in their pocket. I thought that was admirable. That was quick.
It was good.
I'd also like to thank our fellow podcasters over at whosnextgaming.com. You can check out all their podcasts by going over to their website, and it'll have links to the thousands of podcasts that Seth and the boys do.
All good, by the way. Tom, you got anything to plug, buddy?
I'd like to plug Angry Johnny and the Killbillies because Angry still has the ass cancer. So go over to get angry.com and buy some of his music.
He hasn't gotten over ass cancer yet.
Poor guy. Nope.
Josh, you want to plug, I don't know, West Virginia?
Mountain Mama?
I haven't got to West Virginia, but I will plug Asheville, North Carolina. It's nicer than you think.
It's nicer. That's the worst
destination. We can't keep people out of here.
Did you go through the drive-through Luchador Brewery?
Not yet.
But he ate at the parent company of the drive-through Luchador.
The pizza place next door.
Asheville Pizza and Brewing. Plug Asheville Pizza.
Asheville Pizza and Brewing.
Yeah, plug it, Josh.
They know how to handle COVID. Plenty of table space out in the parking lot. They're doing a great job. The beers were fantastic. And we had the Magnum Pie, a fantastic pizza. Your classic ham and pineapple.
With a mustache.
A coconut-crusted crust.
Ooh.
Delicious.
So we have, even though we are a tourist destination, we still have the COVID here, so we can't really go a lot of places. So it hasn't been a typical let-us-show-you-around-our-town kind of tour. We've basically been hanging out in our 1928 bungalow.
It's been mostly like, let-us-show-you-a-tour of our liquor cabinet sort of tour.
And that's exactly what it was like when I visited Josh, except... It wasn't their liquor cabinet. It was just a cabinet they put me in until I was able to escape the next morning. So, I mean, you got that to look forward to.
Sure.
Well, if those are the two experiences that are up, I think I'm going to choose Mike's. That sounds more fun. Is there rope? Is there... or do they just shove you in there and lock it?
Oh, it's a surprise. You'll see.
You'll see.
I mean, I hope it was It felt twiny.
Don't give away the surprise ending.
Like my neighbor did.
Like my neighbor did.
The surprise ending is you make eye contact.
Can you believe?
Can you believe it? We had to have a Hudson Hawk reference at the end. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
So I can believe it. Empty. Does that mean it's the end of the podcast?
That means it's the end of the podcast. Everyone.
Sad.
So, Josh, is North Carolina one of your new favorite
sectors?
Yep. Asheville is my sector right now.
Nice. And, Mike, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
LT, any last words of wisdom for us?
God damn it, Kentucky. Get your shit together. Get rid of Mitch McConnell already.
Fuck him. He wants some fucking bourbon. Oh, sorry. Can I say that word on this podcast?
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Thank you.
I've said so much more about your feet than you said that. Just...
Okay. We're good.
Tammy, any last words for us?
Again, LT, he just wants some fucking bourbon.
I do.
Everybody vote for... Amy Klobuchar, how do you pronounce her name?
McGrath.
Oh, Klobuchar. McGrath, I'm sorry. Yes.
Oh, I like Amy McGrath, too. She's a vet.
No, she's the one that won, right?
Yes.
Okay, send her money. That's my closing. Send her money.
And as long as we're on that, Tommy, did you get your postcard yet?
I have not yet.
So you can send away for postcards to send to the women of Kentucky to make a good, and you can hand sign these and write... and they will give you a full mailing list of 10 women to write to in Kentucky to help kindly and nicely convince that maybe Mitch McConnell is not in their best interest. You can send away for that. I'll put a link up on our Twitter page. It's done by the Democratic Party, and it's a good way of doing a little something to try to help. I got my postcards. I got my list. I've been mailing them out. I've been stapling a dollar on there because that's a lot of money in Kentucky.
Speaking of a dollar, for just $1 a month,
for us?
I was trying to plug our shit. Can you give me a second?
Oh, go ahead, plug page. Don't plug, Mikey.
For a mere $1 a month, you can get an extra podcast every week, not always on Monday, but sometimes on Monday, called The Geek Leak, where we talk about all the non-comic book geeky shit that we've been doing. All the money that we take into Patreon goes right back out to the Elizabeth Peabody House, where Tom runs the food shelter, or food bank, I should say. And so you're not donating to our drinking habit, which if you really want to, you can, but you're actually helping people who are in need during this time when millions of people are out of work and a lot of people are hungry.
Well said, Mikey.
On that downer note.
That's not a downer note. That's a hopeful note. The Elizabeth Peabody House does great work. Every week I meet some really upbeat, great people. They're having a little bit of a hard time right now. But, you know, it's a lot of fun to interact and talk to people. And I really enjoy working at the Elizabeth Peabody House. It's the best job I've ever had. Ian, any last words before we get off the air?
Yes, I would actually love to plug the Long Box. Of all the online advertising that we do, the Long Box is the best ROI that we get. I think a lot of other people should be advertising with the Long Box. It's a great value for money, and it's a great way to reach out to a lot of other nerds in the same community. So I think it's an overlooked gem.
Josh has a gun trained on you right now, doesn't he?
I would drink to that if I had any alcohol right now, which I don't. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we'll drink to it right after.
Stop them. That's the end of the podcast. Then. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Try to promote what you love. You're going to live longer. Thank you from the Long Box, guys.
Love you. Bye-bye.
I was on my way back into the apartment building where I live, and I'm walking my dog. I go up the stairs to enter into the building complex, and as I'm opening the door, I kind of have to hold it open for the dog to walk in because she's a princess. And I look over, and in the courtyard, there's an apartment. The lights are on. The window is wide open. The shade is wide open. And there is a guy beating off like that cock owes him money. And I try to turn away.
You can't.
But we make eye contact.
Oh, no.
Oh, you're locked on now. Oh, He's pulling you in. He's pulling you in.
And now I have gotten cuckolded. to watching him and his porn on his laptop, and
did he finish right when you made eye contact?
I don't want to say he finished because I don't know how long it lasted after I turned away.
There was at least a moment.
There's a moment. You had a moment, though, right?
Did you have a towel down?
No, he wasn't a gentleman.
No towel.
A gentleman puts a towel down.